I just felt like the Lord was like opening up caps of oil this morning. Is anybody like, would anybody like some joy? Okay, cool. Good. Joy is awesome. So we're just going to begin to start drinking and in the joy. Do I have anybody that just is, they'd love to see the kingdom established on the earth where they put their feet every day? Raise your hand if that's you. Amen. Awesome. Okay. So we're just going to declare out this oil. Like, it's healing, it's joy, I was talking last night, if we have the audacity to take what we're receiving here and to begin to establish and plant it where we are, God will increase it. And so I felt like there was just something in the room this morning, and I just want to welcome the Lord to do not only what he wants to do here in your physical bodies, but he wants to do in your churches, in your communities, in your cities. So can we do that together? All right, let's do this. Let's put our hand on our chest. You're here. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for what you're doing. We say yes to the oil. We say yes. We say yes in our family. We say yes in our jobs where we work. We say yes in our church. God, would you open up what you're doing in healing and restoration and joy in the body, that we could have fun as a family in the church, that we would quit playing around and have fun in church. And Lord, that no place where we walk in our cities would be safe from your glory. From your glory, from your glory. Wherever we go, Costco, restaurants, wherever we go, in our homes, come on, that it would be continual drinking and joy that is taking place. We love you, Jesus. You're amazing. Amen. 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 Okay, so we started off with this. Let's do it one more time because some of you were still on your way here. Raise your hand if you had any level of like healing or breakthrough in your body last night. Put your hands up in the air. Come on. That is awesome. I love that. Well, like Chuck has said, you have permission to be healed as you go. So we're just going to continue to just see what the Lord does on just this adventure of healing. And with that, I'd love to bring Chuck up, and we'll continue the glory train. Does that sound good? Awesome.
Thank you. Yay. Whew. I want to start out with sharing a couple of testimonies. Is that okay? So we were in the healing rooms one day, and a gentleman brought in his dad, his older father, who had Alzheimer's. And so here's his dad sitting in the healing rooms in our worship room where there are dancers and artists and worship and people praying in the presence of God, and just a glorious place. His dad's sitting there, and all of a sudden his dad feels this, it's like a gauzy sheet just comes down out of heaven and drops over him, and his mind cleared up instantly. All of a sudden, he could remember everything. He knew who he was. He knew who his son was. Everything came back. Shoo! So nobody prayed for him. It was just in the presence of God, which is why I think it's really important for us to steward the presence of God everywhere we go. As a matter of fact, Paul says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. How many ways does he lead us in triumph? In Christ Jesus, always. How often? Always. And he makes manifest the sweet aroma of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. And so we are walking revival. We're an open heaven, dispensing heaven where we go. And when we gather together, we can come together and steward this atmosphere of heaven. And here this man came in and was gloriously healed. So he came back a year later, and because of the remarkable testimony, I recognized him. I said, oh, I've got to ask you a question. So in the year that happened, what's your life been like? He said, not one symptom of dementia has ever returned. Shoo! Now, one of the things that I want to mention that's really important is, you know, we read in Corinthians how, you know, God takes us from glory to glory, right? You know that part? Where we go from glory to glory to glory. Okay, we don't go from glory to bummer. Now, but isn't that a mindset of this world? A mindset of lack and limitation where something good happens and, oh, that means it's going to end. Okay? Last night you experienced healing, and the way the kingdom works is whatever measure you got healing, it's going to get better and better and better. But there is a mindset of this world that goes, oh, that was really good, but it's probably going to leave. Okay, we have to realize that it's time to renew our minds. We have to stop partnering with the lies of lack and limitation and that good things don't last. And we've got to renew our minds to heaven, which continually goes from glory to glory to glory and from better to better to better. And it's not common to the thinking in this world. In case you didn't know, I mean, I don't know if you watch TV or read the newspapers. I don't. Just saying. It's all bad news. And it's all based on this mindset of lack and limitation. You know, there's not enough of anything. Not enough money, not enough jobs, not enough land, not enough water, all the not enoughs. And the enemy's been speaking that into our lives all our lives. You're not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not handsome enough, not fast enough, strong enough, intelligent enough. And as a Christian, certainly not anointed enough. Ooh. It's lies. It's all lies. It says in Colossians 1:13, God delivered us from the power of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Okay, we didn't do a thing in that, what just happened there. And I was reading that one day, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, what were you delivered from and what were you transported into? So I thought about it and go, well, I was delivered from, oh, a power, the power of darkness, but I was transported into a kingdom. Now, a power and a kingdom aren't exactly the same. A power is just strength or might, you know, control. And this is the power of darkness. It's the ability to keep us in the dark. It says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and I'd venture to say unbelieving believers. Ooh. So they don't see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, lest it would shine into their minds and hearts. You see, the kingdom's all around us. The glory of God's everywhere, shining forth, displayed in nature. All creation displays His glory. But there's blinders that the enemy's put on our minds so that we're always looking at lack and limitation instead of a glorious kingdom of abundance and light. But we've been delivered from that. Say, I've been delivered. And we've been transported into the kingdom. And a kingdom is different. A kingdom is an orderly system. It has justice. It has an economy. It has laws for the prosperity of its people. It's got all of this organization and order for prosperity and fruitfulness. And the kingdom takes its character from the character of the king. And who's our king? Oh, He's Jesus. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there'll be no end. And this is a good, good king. And so what we need to realize is, wait, I've been delivered from this place. I've got to renew my mind to stop thinking in terms of, oh, it was really good last night, but it's not going to last. See, we teach a class at the end of our healing rooms on how to steward your healing. And one of the important points, and this is really important, it's an important point, thus very important, is that many times after we're healed, after all the symptoms leave, we're improving, some pain comes back. And the moment you go, oh, it's back, you just partnered with lying pain from the enemy. We've got to train our minds immediately that the moment something returns, it's familiar. And so it feels like, oh, it's real, it's me, it's back. And we've got to go, whoa, no, Jesus Christ healed me. And I'm not receiving that lying pain from the enemy. And it leaves. But we have to do that because the instant that we partner with it, we've agreed with lying pain. And lying symptoms, and lying lies, you know, anything. Jesus, I like your ways better. I like that things get better and better and better. And it's not common. We have to renew our minds to the fact that, wait, this is a kingdom of abundance. No lack here. Okay? Now, there is an economy over here in this, you know, under the basic principles of this world. It says, 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world lies under wickedness. And that word for wickedness, it's not just moral impurity, though it's included in that. That word for wickedness means full of striving and performance. You know, never enough. And that's the mindset over this world. Would you agree? Yeah. Okay, but we've been delivered from that and placed into a kingdom of abundance. And our minds aren't used to thinking like that. And so we've got to learn to renew our minds to a continual state of abundance. Under the economy of this world, we all have maybe bank accounts, or maybe we wish we had a bank account. But in your bank account, there's never enough zeros on the end of those numbers, right? I mean, on the left side of the decimal point, not the other side. You know, you could always use more. You can always use more, always use more. And there's a limited economy here of what you've earned, what you've saved, whatever. But you see, in this kingdom, there is no limit to the economy. And when we tap into this and realize I have access to an unlimited economy, this is where miracles happen. And there's a story I share in one of my books that we were on a missions trip and we had a fleet of cars, two trailers, some Suburbans, and we were all coming back from the missions trip. And we needed $1,000 to get all of our team across the country. And so I'm driving this Suburban and I had money in my pocket. I took the envelope out and I gave it to the young man riding beside me, and I said, count this, we need $1,000. So he pulls the money out, and there are $800 bills. He goes, there are eight. I went, no, we need 10. Count them again. So he counts them again, and goes, there are eight. I go, no, we need 10. Count them again. So four times he counts them, there are eight. I go, no, we need to look into the abundance of heaven. Now, I don't really know how to do that. We're looking through the windscreen down the highway, you know. But it's a mindset. We're looking in, and so we both look into the abundance of heaven. I said, count them again. The fifth time he counted them, there were 10. How does that even happen? I don't know. We've seen food multiply, money multiply, fuel in the gas tank. One whole winter, I got 320 miles to the gallon in my car. How's your car doing? I mean, this is a kingdom of abundance, and God's just waiting for people to step into it, renew their minds, and go, no, this stuff really works. Jesus, when he was walking around in the Gospels, it says, he in Matthew chapter 4, it says he went about all of Galilee. Okay, so that's like the whole county, you know. And he's teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Okay, he's going through a whole region, and he was doing three things, okay? He's teaching in their synagogues. Now, didn't they have teachers? Like, they had scribes and Pharisees that taught the law. I mean, what did they need Jesus for? Truth. It says he taught as one who had authority. Okay, this word is real, and that's why we need teachers in the church, you know, who have authority and go, no, this is the truth, and it really works. And Paul said, you know, I teach with signs and wonders that follow, okay? Not just words, empty words, but in this Holy Spirit and in power. And that's what Jesus was doing. And to demonstrate that power, he preached, the kingdom of heaven is here, the gospel of the kingdom, that the kingdom is right here, demonstrated by healing every kind of sickness and every kind of disease among the people. Okay, so this is, you know, this is what he was doing. He just did it. And fame went out through the whole region, and people started bringing to him all the sick people, all the demon-possessed, all the lame. And how many did he heal? He healed them all. It said, you know, again and again, like 10 times it says he healed all who were sick to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that he bore our sicknesses and carried our infirmities. This was, you know, a prophecy 700 years before, and Jesus is healing everybody to fulfill that prophecy. So do you think that he was in the will of God? Yeah. He actually was the will of God. He's the love of God. It says in Titus, you know, and when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards mankind appeared, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the kindness and love of God our Savior towards mankind. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's a really good verse. I like that one. So Jesus is the kindness and love of God. And so he goes around, he's healing them all everywhere. They bring to him everybody who is sick in the whole region, and he heals them all. You know, they're pulling on the hem of his garment, and they're all getting healed. He's touching them, and they're all getting healed. They're touching him, and he's all getting healed. You know, and so everywhere he goes, he's healing everybody. You know, five chapters later in Matthew, it says he went about through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease. You know, same thing he was doing in chapter 4, he's doing in chapter 9. It's like this is his job. This is what he came to do. You know, the leper said to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What did Jesus say? I'm willing. You know, I mean, he's the I am, and he's saying, I am willing. That's my name, I am. You know, that I am is such a heavy thing. Do you remember the funny story in John when they came to take him away to crucify him? They come to the garden to get him. They go, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, and he goes, I am he. You know what happened to all the soldiers? They all fell over backwards, these big guys with, you know, swords and spears and everything, in a pile on the ground, because the I am of all eternity spoke the I am, his name. Nobody could stand. So they work their way up and they go, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he's really kind. He goes, yeah. And he dials it down a little bit. Because they couldn't take him. He gave himself for us. But he says, I am willing. I am willing. And I looked up that because I thought, there's probably something important in that word, would you think? Maybe something important. And I looked up the phrase, and I found that there are two phrases in Greek that mean I am willing. And one phrase is like if Josh needed my pickup truck to do something, he asked if he can borrow it. I go, sure, you know, no problem. Here's the keys. You know, I'm willing. And that's just a real passive, yeah, whatever, I'm willing. But that's not what he used. The word he used is, yes, I am willing. This is what I came for. This is my purpose. This is what I do. This is what I'm all about. This is the reason I came, is to do this. That's the I am willing that he used. You know, he's the I am and he's willing. And so everywhere he went, everybody got healed. Right? That's what it says. And then, you know, he sent his disciples and he said, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. You know, he sent them out to do it and they went out to do it. And then, and so is that like a command where he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons? A verb in the imperative mood? No, it's a command. And then in Matthew 28, when he's going up to heaven, he says, a little bit of authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What did he say? All authority. He says, go therefore and make disciples of how many nations? Who here is from a nation? Anybody here from a nation? Hey, they must have done it. They went out and they made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made you. They're still doing it. Okay, so hey, good thing. The job's still going on, right? Okay, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, right into the family of God, immersed in, teaching them to observe how many things that I commanded you? All. Okay, was heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons in the commands? Yeah. So did the disciples who made you teach you to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons? Yes, no, some. Some they did, some they didn't. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere along the way. But we need to pick it up again and go, wait, that was a command of Jesus to all his disciples, so it's time to do it. He never told them how to do it. He doesn't tell us how to do it. He just says, do it. We go, okay, I don't know how, but be healed. But when we realize that I'm in a different kingdom, we realize, wait, this is the manifestation of his power that he's bringing into the world. I don't have to know how to do it because it's called a miracle. And then he says, lo, I'm with you always. For how long? Even to the end of the age. Yep, he's with us forever. And so here's this Jesus who, you know, who healed everybody who came to him. Nobody left out. Everybody he went to, he healed. He healed people who didn't have any faith. He healed people who had faith. He just healed them all. Yeah, that's good news. And then he says, the works that I shall do, you shall do, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. So we get to do what he did in greater works. And what does the because I go to the Father part mean? Holy Spirit. So when I go to the Father, we're going to send the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who's with you, but he will be in you. Okay, do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. Okay, and so that Holy Spirit is our access to do the works that Jesus did and even greater works because they've now sent the Holy Spirit to us. So it's a setup. He told us to do it. He gives us the authority and the power to do it. It says the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 16, it says the Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and manifest it to us. Whoa. He says he's the deposit that guarantees our inheritance. And he's in us. He's our access to everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, all the authority of Jesus. He's our access. And so it's really important to get to know this Holy Spirit who's living inside. Because he's the one who's going to take us, you know, he delivered us from the power of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he's going to help us renew our minds to what is truth because he's the Spirit of truth who leads us into all truth. So, I need a drink first. ah. So we have access to so much more than we know. And the goal is, first of all, to realize what we have access to, and then to realize we have the access to it, and then to start drawing from it. It's like we have a $1 billion bank account, and he's given us an ATM card. And if we're under the mindset of this world, which some of the church is still under the mindset of the world, and they go, well, I can't cash that in. You know, that's too much. I can't go on that missions trip. It's too expensive. And the mindset of this world, you know, it builds every argument on what God's called you to do, on what you don't have. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough intelligence. I don't have enough skills. I don't have enough anointing. I don't have enough training. All the things I don't have. But we've been delivered from that. And we need to realize, I have been delivered. I'm not trying to work my way out of that. We have to stop being a striving church that's trying to get out of lack and limitation in even love. Because under the principles of this world and under religion, we're working our way into the love of God and into the favor of God. No, no, no. He delivered us from that place, and we're in his favor and in his love and in a kingdom of abundance. And so I got to take this thing off. I'm starting to get hot. Holy Ghost. Boom. So we used to live in a ski resort in the mountains of Colorado, and we pastored a church for about 10 years in the ski resort. And part of it was really fun. I mean, you had to ski really fast down the slope to get on the lift so you could witness to somebody going up the lift. And then you had to ski down really fast again so you could get on the lift. And, you know, there are festivals all the time. And I mean, that part was really fun. But as far as building a church, it was really hard because the whole population changes regularly. People move in and move out. It's a resort town. And people come for holiday, not for church. And so in trying to build a church, we realize we're leading snowboarders and skiers and bartenders and all these people to Jesus, but we're only going to have them for a few months, 3 to 6 months. And so we realized, okay, we need to start a school of the Spirit where we train our people, you know, in the life of the Spirit, in the power of God, in the truth of God, and they're doing the stuff. And then when they go home, you know, they've had encounters with God and they know they've got it. They're not just coming to church once a week for a couple months. And so we started the School of the Spirit, and we ended up with like 12 young people living in our home, and, you know, up to 20 people in the school. And you know, started with 4, but it grew. And it was just 3 months long and just immersed in it. And then after 3 months, their lives were so changed, their friends wanted to come. And then, you know, we just kept growing and growing. So we go three more months and then 3 more months. And what we found is that the heathen kids who got saved had no problem with seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. They were so excited that we could do that. The kids who grew up in conservative Christian churches couldn't heal the sick. They had problems in their minds. Some of them had theology that had taught them that it's not for today. You know, they had all kinds of issues with healing the sick. Some of them have been taught, you know, all of these lies about healing, that it's, you know, you don't have enough faith, it's not God's time, you know, all these things. It's God's judgment, you know, he's teaching you a lesson through this sickness. All of them lies. We have a list of like 9 basic lies everybody believes about healing. And so what we found was that, you know, our heathen kids who got saved were doing a great job at healing the sick, but the kids who, you know, grew up with bad theology couldn't do it. And so we started changing the weather instead. We lived in a mountain town at about 9,000 feet elevation, and we had church in the park, church in the mountains, church, you know, outdoor weddings, events, all kinds of stuff. And weather changed all the time, and there'd be snowstorms, there'd be rain, all kinds of stuff. And so we'd be doing an outdoor event, and so like a wedding, okay, we're having this wedding, getting ready to do it, and all of a sudden the big black storm clouds rolling over the mountains. The bride's mother goes, ah, we should move it inside. And so I go, hey, who wants to change the weather? And so a bunch of my students would go, yeah, let's do it. You know, some party drunks would go, yeah. Hey, anybody can do it. And so we, you know, point to the storm clouds, we command them to part, and we call forth the sunshine, and the sun would come out, and we'd have a beautiful wedding. And so these students, nobody ever told them that changing the weather isn't for today, or you can't change the weather. Nobody'd ever told them that. Jesus changed the weather in the storm at sea. Hey, so they just tried it, and it worked. And so we've been changing the weather for years now and teaching thousands of people to do it. And it's really simple. And after a while, you know, they got really good at changing the weather. I go back into healing, and I go, you know, healing is just as easy as changing the weather. I bet you never heard that statement before. But I want to share, I'm going to share some photographs, so I'm just about ready to start those. I'll give a little background. So we've been doing this for many years, but this set of photographs, I took a team of my interns, and we went down to Newport Beach, California. We did a bunch of healing schools and, you know, just ministered in churches, and the weather there was beautiful the whole time, just glorious sunshine, blue sky days. I can't remember, it must have been in the spring, but it was beautiful weather. And so we had a day off on Monday. We'd have beautiful weather all week. We said, Monday, let's go to the beach. We're going to have a blue sky day at the beach. Okay, so if you will put up that first photograph, I'll show you what happened when we woke up Monday morning. Ta-da, blue sky. Somewhere. And so, you know, I went, okay, guys, this is your final exam. We're going to have a blue sky day at the beach. And so you can go to the next slide. That's, we were looking for the sun, and that's the best we got. Okay, the next picture. Here we are, you know, we're standing there speaking to the storm clouds, commanding them to part. And, you know, I mean, this sounds ridiculous maybe to you, but how many of you know that behind those storm clouds, there is in fact a blue sky and a sun shining? Yes? Okay, this is just like the kingdom of heaven. It's just like the problems of life. When sickness rolls in, it's storm clouds that cover your whole world. But behind those is the kingdom of heaven. It's always here. Remember, the enemy's blinded us to it, but in a kingdom of abundance that is in fact invisible, but very real. This is why Paul tells us we don't look on the things that are seen, we look on the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So eternally, there's a blue sky and a sunshine behind those storm clouds. Eternally, there's the kingdom of heaven everywhere. And we're seeing the storm clouds of problems, loss of a job, you know, marital dysfunction, you know, financial problems, sickness, disease, cancer. All of these are the storm clouds of life. But behind them, there is a blue sky. So see that little spot up there? We started speaking to the storm clouds to part. We started calling forth the blue sky because, in fact, we were more connected with the blue sky behind the clouds than we were with the clouds. And this is how we have to live in the kingdom of heaven. We have to be more connected to his promises than we are with the problems of life. We can do this because the Holy Spirit lives in us and shows us what belongs to Jesus, shows us the inheritance. So the moment... Okay, okay, just stop for a moment. So that little hole that you saw now became, see, it's getting a little bit bigger. This is just like last night when, you know, your pain went down just a little bit. And we start to celebrate and we start to focus on that because we're focusing on the part that is happening, on the part that we're seeing breakthrough. This is called breakthrough. And so we start celebrating. We're running down the beach going, blue sky at the beach. You know, it doesn't look like it. We look ridiculous, but we're seeing breakthrough. We're seeing the blue sky we know is behind those clouds is coming through into our reality. So we had to chase the blue sky down the beach because it kept wanting to move away. So in the next picture, you'll see us. It's opening up. Whoa. Okay, one more picture. Ho! It was supposed to be storm clouds and rain and thunder showers all day. Okay, next picture. Sunshine. Okay, next one. Okay, and then there's one last one. We went out on the pier and took a picture of the whole landscape, and it's blue skies everywhere. Okay, it was supposed to be storming and raining all day, but we knew that behind there was a kingdom that was just for us, and we could call it into this reality. Now, one time we did this in, it was in Australia, and after we spent the day on a blue sky, we went to this house meeting and a big dinner and, you know, a home meeting of about 80 people. And a Christian gentleman came up to me and said, don't you think it's a little presumptuous for you to think that God would change the weather just for you? I said, excuse me, I don't understand your question. I'm the son that he loves. Presumption sets us against the will of God. You know, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's humility to know that, oh, God's got a kingdom for me behind those clouds, and he's invited me into it. And I say yes to you, the things you promise. I want what you want, God. This is humility, receiving something that makes no sense. But we go, you said it, God, and so I say yes to it. I want it. And so we've seen, you know, weather change tons of times. As a matter of fact, when we were planning to come up here, it was supposed to be snowing all this weekend. You're welcome. Every time I go to England, we have this beautiful weather, beautiful sunny weather, and I tell everybody, you know, I'm going back to the United States and tell everybody it's a lie about England, you know, because it's always nice when I'm there. I actually have had a little bit of rain in England, but not so much. It's usually they go, oh, Chuck's coming, and the weather gets good. He loves me. Okay, so this is the important thing when we're looking at healing of anything, is to realize, okay, wait a second, there is a whole reality behind this reality that I'm seeing. And so we've seen every kind of sickness and disease healed. When I was in Germany in May, did I tell you this story? Sounds so familiar to me, but I'll tell you anyway. You can tell me if I told you. You can hear it again. It's really good. So there was, we were in a meeting, and the place was full, and they were having worship. And at the end of worship, this father and his 19-year-old son came up. He came to introduce me to his 19-year-old son, and he said, you might not remember us, but 9 years ago, you did a conference in Kreuzlingen, Switzerland, and we were there. My son was 10 at the time. And I remember the conference. It was a great one. But he said, you were, during worship, you were just kind of prowling around and putting hands on people and doing stuff, and which I like to do. And he said, you came to the back where my son was. He was 10 years old. And you put your hand on his head and just kept it there and then walked on, you know, which I don't really remember. But he said, my son, ever since he was a baby, has been severely autistic. But from that moment on, the autism cleared up. He began to look us in the eye. He began to speak our names. He went to school, and the teacher said, this isn't the same kid. And they put him in regular school. And here's this 19-year-old boy coming up to me going, I don't have autism anymore. And he's the drummer in the band, and he's just, you know, free and happy. God did that. You know, we don't even have to know what we're doing. I accidental miracles happen sometimes. I'm just connecting with the one who lives inside and getting wrecked. And accidentally, somebody gets healed. I was in the healing rooms, and I walked by a guy. You know, I'm just blasted on the love of God, and I just touch the guy on the shoulder and walk by. I didn't know the guy. And I heard this thud, and I looked around, and he's on the floor rolling around laughing. I went, that's got to be good. So I just left. And I came back about 10 minutes later. He's still on the floor rolling around laughing. I went, wow. And so I, you know, kind of nudged him a little bit, and he laughed harder. And I left and did some other stuff, and I came back. He's still on the floor rolling around laughing. So I took his intake form. I wanted to find out, what's this guy in here for? Depression. Wiped out by an ambush of joy. So some months later, our healing rooms is kind of a festival. And there are about 200 people in the room, and it's not seats like this. Everybody's milling around doing stuff. And I got up on the microphone, and I was sharing that testimony. And while I'm sharing the testimony, this 2-year-old little boy comes up and stands in front of me, and all of a sudden, he looks like he's drunk, and he goes like this, and he falls down on the floor and starts laughing. While I'm sharing the testimony, I thought, that's so cute. He's like mimicking me. And so, I don't know, like 20 minutes later, his mom comes up with a little boy in her arm, and she says, he can't stop smiling. I said, yeah, I know, it was so cute. He was just like imitating and getting drunk and falling down and laughing. She goes, no, you don't understand. He's 2 years old, and he has never smiled once in his life. He has never laughed once in his life. Now, that's got to be a devil to do that to a little kid. But she said, ever since then, he can't stop laughing. He can't stop smiling. God set that little boy free from some demonic oppression, and he's free to experience joy. Whoa, Jesus, thank you. I have this really good friend who we're good friends. He actually interned for me 1 year. But when he first came to BSSM, he had severe depression. He was actually suicidal. He had depression. He'd been in a mental facility for a while. He'd been on medications. He thought about suicide for a couple of months every day. He was just severely depressed, but he came to BSSM. He was thinking he could get breakthrough, and he was in a class I taught, and everybody was getting a little bit, I don't know, kind of funny and laughing and falling on the floor. Which is a good thing. Maybe we should try it. and he was looking pretty serious, you know, and I walked by him and I thought, this guy needs something. I put my hand on his chest and I was just being ridiculous. I put my face in his face and went, shoom, ba 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 ba. And the guy goes, and falls out on the floor laughing. I thought, that's got to be good. And so the class is on Tuesday. So the next Tuesday, his buddy was standing there, went, yes. I didn't know the guy's history. The next Tuesday, they came and told me the story that after that event, you know, he started realizing, okay, maybe there's hope for me. And he had a dream on Friday night. And in the dream, there was a 2-foot hunting knife stuck in his brain, and there was a hand twisting it around in his brain. And then my hand came over the other hand and pulled it out, and he was free. And so he got up, and he knew I'd be in the healing rooms. You know, I really didn't know him at this point. So he got on his motorcycle, raced down to the healing rooms, and he said, I've got to get Chuck to pray for me, which it isn't about me praying for him, but it's just I was in the dream. And so he came into the healing rooms, and you have to register and tell what you want to be, what you want prayer for. And he's a Brit, and it's a little bit weird to say, I have a 2-foot hunting knife sticking out of my head. So he wrote down asthma, which he didn't have. So he's in the encounter room, and all this glory is happening in worship, and different things are happening. And I was just kind of in my own world, blissed out. And I walked by him, and he chickened out, you know, and he thought, oh, okay, if he walks by again, I'm going to ask him to pray for me. And I'm just not aware at all. And so I walk by him again, and he chickens out again. And so he's feeling just like, you know, a failure. And these two girls come up, and they look at his sheet, so they start praying for his asthma, which he doesn't have. And so he's got his head down. He puts his hands on his head, and he's just feeling like a failure. And I'm walking along, and I see this guy's head down, and I just put my hand on his head, and he starts to vibrate. And he just starts shaking. He starts shaking like a jackhammer, just... I went, oh, this is good, I think. And then I walked on. And he finally comes out of it. And the girls go, you know, how's your asthma? He said, I just had the most amazing experience. I felt like Jesus just put his hand on my head. And they said, oh, Chuck just went by and put his hand on your head. And so after that, he's never had depression, bipolar, hasn't had, you know, suicidal thoughts, none of those things. And that was like 6 years ago. Jesus did that. And I didn't even know what I'm doing. See, sometimes we think we have to know too much, when all we need to know is that, but you're here. Just say that. Go ahead and put your hands on your heart. Oh, but you're here. You know, there's a whole kingdom inside us. There's a king. There's a Holy Spirit. There's a whole invisible world in there that's bigger than this world. Yep, there are fountains springing up to everlasting life. There are rivers of living water gushing out of our bellies. You know, there's all this stuff happening, and we can focus on that, or we can focus on the problems. We can focus on how big the problem is, or how big the river of God that's full of water is inside of us. And I like to focus on the river. And I don't, you know, and so I'm not so concerned. I mean, sometimes I'll ask people what the problem is because I want to target. I just want to know what we're aiming at. But sometimes it's not necessary at all. It's just I want to get in touch with a life inside of me, and I want to pour it into somebody else. And I had a woman who... She'd been diagnosed as bipolar her entire life, and with, you know, manic depression, and most everything was the depression part, not much manic to it, you know, mostly in torment most of her life. She was 40 years old. She'd been in a mental hospital. She was on some medication, and she came to our healing school, and... You know, she did want to be healed, in fact, and she saw that I was a really happy guy over there, being happy. And so she felt drawn to that happiness because she didn't know that kind of happiness. And so she came up to me, and her mouth was moving. I mean, sometimes I'm just in another world. I just have to confess. I like that world better. I like the kingdom. I went to England recently, and they said, how do you deal with American politics? I went, well, actually, I'm from another kingdom. I'm a citizen of another kingdom. I did vote, but, you know, don't you get sick of the lesser of two evils? I mean... So, you know, I just live in a different kingdom. And so, you know, I'm just looking at her, and her mouth's moving, and she's got this torment on her face, and she's going, I'm telling me all of these problems. And I just reached up my hand, and I put it to her lips, and I went, shh. She told me later that she was so offended. And then I put my hands on her head, and I said, we're just going to rewire your brain. And I just wiggled my fingers. Well, when I said that, electricity shot through her brain. She fell to the floor and started laughing like crazy on the floor. I mean, I always think that's good. And so I just went and prayed for somebody else. But and I didn't really see her again. And then 3 years later, her daughter was in BSSM, and she came up to me and she said, my mom told me that if I ever... saw you, that I should tell you her testimony. I went, sure, yeah, I'd love to hear. And she told me that she was that lady, and I remember that lady. She said, when I said, rewire your brain, she felt electricity shoot through her brain, and as she's on the floor, all of a sudden, connections happened in her brain that she'd never had in her whole life. She began to be able to process. Just, you know, things started connecting because there were short outs in her brain, and they all started reconnecting. Now, I don't know that your brains has wires in them. But but God knew what he was doing, and he rewired, he reconnected parts of her brain so that she could process. She went back to her doctor the next week, and he goes, "No, you are processing. I've never seen this in you. We're going to wean you off all medication." And so she was weaned off all medication. And then after a few more years, she came to Bethel, and I got to meet with her, and I got her whole testimony and all of everything. And she's been joy-filled ever since. You know, a total transfer. And so the reason I'm telling these stories is I just want you to know that, you know, God heals physical things, but he heals mental conditions too. He heals emotional conditions. Now, I mean, some people really like counseling. I'm just not that person. Don't come to me for counseling, please. They call my program the Whack 'em and Stack 'em. But sometimes we're stuck in places and we need, you know, sozos and counselors and different things. And that's great. It's just not me. And so, but I do want people to know that there is hope. There is help. I've seen, there was a guy who was, as a child, he was locked in a closet by his mother and then chased around the house with a knife by his mother. I mean, the guy had PTSD. I mean, he had a horrible childhood. It was extremely painful. As an adult, he got married, and as you might suspect, their home life was horrible. You know, he would go into fits of rage and throw things. They had some kids. I think they have four kids, and they couldn't sit at the dinner table because dishes would fly, and it was terrible. And somehow, his wife had talked him into coming to Bethel Healing School, which we do every May. We'll be having it again this May. You're invited. And so he came to the healing school, and it just was not his thing. He didn't get it. So he's out in the lobby calling his wife, and he goes, "You know, the people are crazy here. I'm out of here." We are crazy. It's wonderful. I love it. And she said, "Would you give it one more try?" And so he came in the door, and we were doing prayer for people, and I was just standing there. And so he came up to me, and he said, "Would you pray for me?" And I mean, he's this big, angry, muscular guy, real intense. And I just looked him in the eye, and then I just wrapped my arms around him and pulled him. And he started weeping. He just started weeping like crazy. And what he said was, he'd never experienced love in his entire life. He'd never known any love. But when I hugged him, the love of the Father came into him, and he said, "It left. I don't know what it was, but it's gone." And his wife, I met her 8 months later, and she said he came back a different man. He's rebuilt trust with our kids. He's been joy-filled. We actually have a married life, a family life. God did that. So I just want you to know God can do anything. Yeah, let's give it up for God. So what I'd like to do is, I don't know, how long does this session go? What? Noonish? It's only 10:30. Yeah. Oh, we could get blasted. Oh! Let's. Oh, my goodness. I have to blow my nose. Oh my, we got a whole morning, huh? Well, the thing that I feel like I really want to go after is any mental conditions. And it can be dyslexia, it can be bipolar, or, you know, depression, or any condition. It can be, just anything of the brain that is difficult for you. And some can be really chronic and some can be mild, but I just think if you have a condition that has to do with your mind or your brain, I'd like you to stand up and we'd like to pray for you. Look at all these. Hallelujah. Jesus, I guess this was the right call this morning. Yes. Okay, so yeah. Let's just turn our attention to him. Thank you that you're here. Yep, you're the healer of bodies, healer of minds, healer of body, soul, and spirit. Thank you. Yep, thank you. And I'd like to just ask you to put your hands on your head, just like it's a hat, a cap over your head. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And in about a minute, we're just going to remove that cap. We might even blow it up. That might be fun. But there's been a lid that's, you know, over your reasoning, thinking, abilities, you know, like a ceiling, a limit. Yeah. And it's time to remove that. There's been pressure. Yeah. Even migraines. There's been some shame and that goes along with it. Misunderstandings. Yeah. We're just going to take that. And when I count to three, I'd like us just to make an explosive sound and then just go boom, and lift your hands off your head. We're taking off that limit, all those limits. Yeah. Yeah. One, two, three. Whoa. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, just reach your hands towards these people. I'm just going to pray. Yeah, yeah, we release the clarity of heaven to come pouring in. Yep, as things are released, as things are opening up, yep, the peace of heaven, the shalom of heaven upon minds, upon brains, yep, upon mental functioning, even upon emotions, upon every part. Yep, the peace of God that goes beyond understanding, coming now to guard minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. Yep, we declare today's a new day, a new day. Yep, old things are passed away. Just say, old things are passed away. Yeah, behold, all things become new. Yeah, we step into that new day. We step into a new day of understanding, of reasoning, of processing, of thinking. Yep, yep, of clarity, a new day of clarity. Yep. Yep, dyslexia is leaving. Yep. The words on the page are all going to lie down in peace. Yep, they're all going to make sense. Yep, we just declare a new day. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, if you have, I mean, I don't know what your condition is and so what you can test, but I mean, if it's a reading thing or if it's something, if you can just check it out and see if there's a difference. I had a guy who was dyslexic and couldn't read at all, and the only book we had was A.W. Tozer, which isn't easy reading. And he picked it up and read a whole page of Tozer for the first time reading ever. But yeah, you know, if you can go ahead and check things out, or how many of you felt like something shifted? Just raise your hand if you feel like there was a shift. Okay. Hey, let's just celebrate. God's shifting things. Phew. But yeah, you can be seated. We want you to, you know, test things out and let us know. We really love to hear because, you know, many breakthroughs just happen as you're going about your business and you realize, whoa, I can read. I can see. Yeah, we've had a whole run of ears popping open that's been incredible. Yeah, let's just turn our attention to him for a moment. Yes. Thank you that you're here. You're the healer in the midst of us. Yeah. And we open our hearts to your healing grace, your healing presence. Holy Spirit, you're here in the room. Jesus, you're here in the midst of us. You tell us you're here. Yeah. When we're gathered in your name, you're right here. So we honor your presence in the midst of us, Jesus. We honor your presence. Holy Spirit, we honor you moving in us and among us and through us. Father God, we honor your plan. Yep, it's your idea that we could be healed. You're the one who said you're the God who heals us. Even before we had sickness, you said you're the God who heals us. We thank you. Thank you that you made correction for all of man's failures. Thank you. Thank you. You're the answer. You're our hope. You're our peace. Yet we run into you right now. We run into your presence. Yep, we give you all our systems. Yep, all the functions of our body, and we just go, yeah, you designed these. Yes, please. We come to you, the designer and creator. Yep, and say, rewire us, restore us, renew us. Yep, new organs. Yep. Thank you. I had a woman who was pregnant, and the doctor said the baby didn't have kidney in the womb, and so we prayed, and the baby was born with two kidneys. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. You make all things new. Yeah, we just want to bask in your presence for a little while right now. The presence of the healer. Yeah. Let's to let you be God and we get to be your people. Yeah. You are God. Everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Yeah, but God of righteousness and without injustice. Yeah, holy and upright are you. The King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to you be glory and honor forever and ever. Yep. You are. Yep. Your goodness, your mercy are chasing after us, running after us, following us. Yep. Your loving kindness is great towards us. Your merciful kindness knows no limits. Jesus, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. We never have to be alone ever, ever, ever. Because you're with us, you're in us, you're around us. We're in you and you are in us. You go before us and behind us, above us and underneath us are your everlasting arms. You carry us. Yep, you're our everything, you're our all in all. Yep, a righteous God and a Savior. There's none but you, only you. Yep. God of love. Yep, a God of kindness. Thank you for your goodness, God. Yep. I just want to, turn our attention towards your goodness in the midst of us. We spend so much time with our attention turned towards the problems in life, and problems are so distracting. And when there's pain involved, the pain increases the level of distraction. But God, we want to turn from distraction and look into your eyes of fire, Jesus. Your holy eyes, look into your holiness. God, just to look into your holiness. Yeah, just to come before you. Yeah, and say, you're our God and we're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture, the flock of your hand. Thank you, you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, because that's who you are. You're holy, you're righteous, you're pure. And you impart purity to us. You give us of your holiness. Yeah. Everything you have, you freely give us. You've invited us in as children and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. We say yes, yes to the inheritance, to what we don't deserve, but you freely give us. Yes, yes to the price you paid that we might be holy and pure and spotless. Yes to your truth. Jesus, you're the way, the truth, and the life. And Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth, and you lead us into all the truth. I just ask right now that you'd bring everyone in this room into an encounter with the truth about themselves. Yep, right now, just show us. Just ask him. Ask him, say, show me the truth about myself, God. He's going to show you a truth, something that's true. Sometimes they're a little embarrassing because they're a little too good to be true, but they're the truth. Yeah, show us the truth about ourselves. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your truth. Yeah, yeah, we want to abide in that truth, live in that truth, remain in that truth, stay present with your truth. Yeah, so we can know the truth, and the truth makes us free. Thank you for the glorious liberty of the children of God, the freedom you bring us into. And once the sun sets free, are free indeed. We're free. You've made us free. Set us free. Free to be yours. Yeah, free to be holy. No longer striving after holiness, but free to be a holy people because of what you've done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we turn our attention towards him, you know. Our minds get distracted. Just keep reining it in and pulling it back. Pulling it back. Focusing on his goodness right here. Right with you. Yeah. Yeah, take us places we've never been. Show us things we've never seen. You know, our eyes haven't seen. Our ear hasn't heard. It even hasn't even entered into our heart what you've prepared for those who love you. God, we love you. But you say you reveal it to us by your Spirit. So we say, yes, Holy Spirit. Take what belongs to Jesus. Reveal it to us. Reveal to us plans and purposes that are beyond us. Yep, you're our access to the mind of Christ. We want your mind, your strategies of heaven. For every one of us in whatever circumstances we're in, whatever field of influence that we're in, we want the strategies of heaven, the answers of heaven to any conditions that we're in. Thank you that you generously pour out the mind of Christ, the strategies of heaven, hope. Yeah, we want to be your hope carriers, brokers of hope to a world that has little hope. We're brokers of hope, of an eternal hope, an everlasting hope, a living hope. Yeah, an endless hope. Hope that knows no limits. Thank you. Thank you for making a place for us in you. So where you are, we can be also. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, take us higher, deeper, wider into the love of God that surpasses knowledge. We want to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. Yeah. The experience of being loved by you, an encounter with your love pouring out on us, wrapping us up, embracing us, filling us, overflowing us. Your love poured out, overflowed, gushing out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that you've given us. Yeah, more. More of your love, God. More of your love. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, you're here. You're here. You're here and you love us. Glory. Yeah. Transform us from glory to glory to glory. Transfigure us. Change us from glory to glory to glory. By your Spirit. Yeah, we look into you. We look to you. Look into your face. Beautiful face, your eyes of fire, transfigure us up into your image, your glory. Thank you that you are the light of the world, and you passed that torch, that baton on to us, and you told us we're now the light of the world. Yeah. Your light, and in you there's no darkness at all. Yeah, let your light so consume us, there's no darkness in us. Yeah. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. We honor you for the work you did when we were lost and gone astray and all those things we sang about in the songs earlier. Yeah, you said, nope, that's not the end. You came. Yeah. You took all our sin and guilt and shame. You died with it. And you who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in you. We say thank you for your righteousness. Yeah. We want to walk in your righteousness, explore your righteousness, play with your righteousness, enjoy your righteousness. There's freedom in it. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lovely lady in the back of the room that I prayed with earlier, and she said God gave her the verse from Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." And there are three words in that sentence in Hebrew. They're Rapha, Yada, Elohim. And Rapha, you know, Rapha sounds like the word for healing. It's actually almost the same word. But it means quit. It means just stop. Quit. Quit trying to work it out in your own strength. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to make things happen. Just quit. Which really has a lot to do with healing. Quit trying and receive the healing he already bought for you. And so it's just stop. There's times to stop. And the word yada, it's an intimate, experiential knowledge. It's not an intellectual knowledge. It's a deep encounter knowledge. It says in Genesis, Adam knew Eve. Adam yada Eve, and she conceived and bore a child. And so it's the most intimate, personal encounter. And this is what God wants us to have. He wants us to quit all the control and the mind games, just stop all the striving and be still and have an intimate encounter with an Elohim is a plural word. It's the plural majesty of the Godhead. It's all through Genesis. It's Elohim who spoke and created. Elohim who said, let there be light. Elohim who said, let us make man in our image. It's the plural majesty of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, be still. Just quit. Time to stop and have an intimate encounter with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's something we need to do day after day after day. And it's where we step into miracles. Yeah. Yeah, there's a control freak who lives up inside our brain, and we just need to tell that guy to quit. Yep, quit trying to run the show. Quit trying to tell God how to do it. You can even quit a lot of times telling God what you need and just be still. Be still and stop and have an intimate encounter with the one who knows everything. He knows what we need. He knows us. And Psalm 139 is a beautiful psalm of him knowing us. Maybe I'll just read that. It's good. This is David's song to the pure and shining one called You Know All About Me. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You're so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I'll take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You've laid your hand on me. It's just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. You know, to be fully known. You know, some of my best friends are the people who know me. I feel known by them. And here's this God who knows everything. Everything, even things you wouldn't like anybody to know. But he knows them and still loves us. He fully knows us. Say, you fully know me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. Yeah, you know, some children are called accidents. But once a man and a woman conceive, God immediately gets intimately involved and weaves together body, soul, and spirit and becomes intimately involved in you. So whether you were wanted or not wanted, from your conception, God wanted you and took an active interest as a creator into you. Now flesh begets flesh, but only God can create a body, soul, and spirit and weave them together. There's no such thing as darkness with you. Oops, I already said that part. Thank you for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. Carefully, skillfully, you shaped me from nothing into something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you're thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of the sand on every seashore. When I wake each morning, you're still with me. Then he talks about slaying the bloodthirsty, murderous men. It's the Old Testament. It's kind of heavy that way. But if we're looking at this in metaphor, there are those thoughts swirling around, those lies swirling around that want to rob us of this intimacy and love with God. And they are murderous. They are bloodthirsty. And we can cry out, depart from me. Yep. And God rescues us from all of those lying thoughts that try to destroy the life of him and me. And so then he goes, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there's any path of pain I'm walking on. And lead me back into your glorious, everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. Yeah, God, thank you that you know us so well. You know us so well. And you've got a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. You created us with purpose and with destiny. We say yes. Yes to the destiny you've woven into our very being. Sometimes we don't quite know what it is, but as we yield to it, as we be still and know, have an encounter with you as God, all of a sudden things are highlighted. Passions are stirred, desires, dreams, visions rise up from that secret place. Yeah, Jesus uses the term in John 14 and 15 many times. He says, abide. Abide in me. You know, the branch abides in the vine. Abide in my love. Let my love abide in you. And that word abide, it simply means stay, remain, be present. Be here now. Be here now with my truth. Be here now with my words. Be here now with my love. Be present. Stay present. And there's reference places for that being present. There's three references. The first one is stay here now in my word, my love, all of my joy, everything, and avoid every distraction that tries to get you to look at the future with anxiety or the past with regret. Nope, just come back to here now. They're distractions, they're temptations, they're lies, trying to get your mind all fixed on the anxiety about the future or the regrets of the past. He says, nope, just abide. Stay present right here now. Be present. Be still and know that I'm God right here. Be here now with me in my truth, my love, my holiness. Right in the present tense is where miracles happen. They don't happen in the future with anxiety or the past. Miracles happen in the now of God, and that's why we want to be present with him. Up in the present tense of God, I'm holy and without blame before him in love. If I'm living with all my distractions in the past, it doesn't look so holy. That's why I pull it back and I go, nope, I'm going to abide. I'm going to be present with you right here, right now. And that's the first reference, is just to stay here now, not looking at the future or the past. The second reference is I'm going to stay here now. As I walk in time, I'm going to stay present. I'm not going to get up in the morning, have a devotion and be present, and then run into the day and forget it all. Nope, I'm gonna walk into the day with you, present with you, into every issue of the day, because you're my wisdom, you're my understanding, you're my strategies, you're my peace. And the third reference point for abide is, I'm going to stay me here now, present with God. Avoiding every temptation to compare myself to somebody else or try to be like somebody else. No, I'm free to be me here now with you. and keep walking in life here now, me with you, and then all the life of heaven floods through me and I become the unique, Paul says, a letter, a living epistle written on my heart by God, known and read by all men. I become a letter from God to the whole world. In the uniqueness of my gifts and callings and everything he put in me gets to come out. And I get to be me before the whole world. To abide. Yeah. To be present with him here now, myself, free to be myself. He set me free. Yeah. The one the sun sets free is free indeed. Yeah. We step into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And it says it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. And I asked him about that. I said, wow, you set us free just to be free. Not to be a great evangelist or free to do good work or free to do this or free to do anything. He just set us free just to be free. I mean, that's marvelous. So I say, God, why is it so important to you that we be free just to be free? You want to know what he said? He said, free people make the best lovers. If you've ever tried to love somebody who couldn't receive love and couldn't give love, or maybe you've been that person, you know, people trying to love you, trying to connect, but unable to receive. He said, nope, I set you free from that so you could receive my love. So as a 100% free person with unlimited choices, you can choose to receive my love and to love me back. That's what he's looking for, is lovers. He's looking for the best lovers. So he set us free. And in that freedom, that glorious liberty of the children of God, we're free to be fully us and take everything that's us and love him back and receive love into every part of us. Because love's really the end of the story. It's the beginning and the end. It's really all about love. And it's the story of healing. He heals because he loves us. You know, it was never about, I mean, how many of you have ever tried to make a deal with God if he healed, you know, heal me and I'll do this. He's not making deals. He made the ultimate deal on the cross. Took all our sickness, sin, pain, shame, and pours out healing with his own blood and water flowing down, soaking into the earth. He said, no, I bought healing for you. And healing is this glorious package. It's right in front of us. It just... put your hands out and hold that package, that amazing package of healing. Now, sometimes it's wrapped up, and it's wrapped up in, you know, I don't know if you ever had an auntie or a granny that wrapped presents so elaborately you were almost afraid to open them because it was, you know, the wrapping was like half the issue. You know, sometimes it looks like that. And then we're caught up in the wonder, and I just call that wrapping mystery. Sometimes the present's wrapped in mystery. But we're not supposed to get distracted by the mystery. We're supposed to rip into the present. You know, sometimes the mystery is, you know, why didn't it happen? Or why did this happen? Or, you know, why haven't I been healed? Or, you know, all those questions. And the thing about those questions is there is no answer to those questions. It's the most common question we get all the time is, you know, why haven't they been healed? Haven't I been healed? She's been good, why didn't she get healed? You know, all those whys. There is no answer in heaven or on earth for those questions. And churches build theologies based on those questions. Well, you know, it must be sin in your life. No, it must be you have unforgiveness. Nope, it must be, you know, some curse on your, you know, and they just make whole stories about it. But we teach our people never do that. Nope, there's no answer to the whys. It's just healing. And so sometimes we got to stop being distracted by the mystery that wraps up this present. Just rip it open. Go ahead and rip open your package. Just do a prophetic act and rip open that wrapping paper. That beautiful mystery pile on the floor. And there's the gift. You know, sometimes I've seen it as a glowing thing that everybody who needs healing already has the healing all around them. You know, just like that gift in front of you, I've sometimes seen, you know, like this electrical glory light thing, you know, substance all around a person. I met a guy who had been in a car accident, and he'd broken almost all his bones, you know, all his ribs, his arms, elbows, everything. He was in a full body cast. And then when he got out of the cast, all his joints were in agony. You know, nothing worked very well. But also his spine developed severe scoliosis, so it was bending over more and more, and his ribs were starting to crush his organs. And so the doctor said, well, this is what we'll have to do. We'll have to break all your ribs again and reset you. Oh, yeah, exactly. I said, hey, could I pray for you? He goes, yes. So the guy's all, you know, hunched over like this in agony, closes his eyes, he's holding out his hands, and I just stepped back for a minute, and all of a sudden I saw this cylinder of light engulfing him. Just, it was like electricity and energy, and I mean, it was awesome. I wanted to see what it felt like. That's why I never close my eyes when I'm praying for somebody, because you might miss something. So I stuck my hand in and went, whoa, that stuff is cool. And then I had a thought, I wonder what would happen if I reached through and touched him on the spine. So I did it. All of a sudden we heard this pop, 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 and he goes, I said, what just happened? He said, my entire skeleton restructured in 2 seconds, and I can breathe. All the pressure's gone. Whoa, God did that. Whoa. Sometimes our whole job is just, how do I help this person receive the healing that's already been purchased? But it's not a striving, oh, what must I do? It's God, what are you saying and what are you doing? I'm just here. I'm here as a helper to help them receive. You already paid for the gift. It's theirs. I just want to help you receive. In that instance, it was just sticking my finger through, but you never know what it is, because it's not a formula. We had a girl who was, she had one leg significantly shorter than the other, and there were some guys, they were sitting down there going, grow, 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 and so I came along and said, hey, what are we doing? She said, they're trying to grow my leg out. I said, hey, put your finger on your nose. And she put her finger on her nose. I said, now push. And she pushed, and her leg shot out. Now, if we're going to have a formula, that would be my formula. But it's not about formulas or technique. Technique isn't in the Bible. Like, you know, you might ask, you know, where's pushing on the nose in the Bible? The technique's not in the Bible. Healing is in the Bible. And so, I mean, we're doing this thing right now. I don't know if you noticed, but we're just going into his presence and we're realizing that he's the Lord of the healing. And he shows us things to do. And if he doesn't show us something, we don't have to worry about it. We're not going to strive. We're not going to, you know, get all freaked out. We're just going to be still and know that he's God. And we're just going to release love on our friends. Because that, all that sickness, the pain, the diseases, the cancer, those are violations of the love of God. Those are from the enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy from our loved one. And we want to be part of his life and life more abundantly program. And so I'm going to pour love and life into my friends, into, you know, each one. And God does the healing. I never know how he's going to do it. And when he does it, it makes me look like a genius, but I know that that's silly because I don't know how to do anything. I know he did it, but I got to participate. And this is the fun part. We get to participate in him healing somebody. And this is the glory. And this is, you know, in sharing testimonies, we never want to try to make ourselves out as the hero of the story. We just got to be there. He's the hero. And he's wonderful. He's a great hero. He does his job so well. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you purchased healing for every one of us. You purchased salvation. You know, it's a whole package, salvation, healing, deliverance. It's not, one's not harder than the others. It's all a miracle. Deliverance from demonic oppression is a miracle. Healing from cancer is a miracle. Yep, emotional healing from depression is a miracle. But he does it all. And my belief, what I'm really going after, is seeing people when they get one piece of healing, the whole package comes. You know, if you've got pain in your hip and we pray for the hip, boom, all of a sudden you set free from poor self-image and depression and, you know, every other thing. You just get an entire makeover into the glorious healing of God. So that's my plan. I'm sticking to it. Oh, Jesus. Feels kind of good in here, doesn't it? Kind of thick and soupy and nice. We love your presence, God. Yeah, we love that we can live in your presence all the time. When I was first born again, I was just a wild and untamed hippie kid living in the mountains. I lived in a teepee in the mountains of Colorado for 3 years, 3 winters in the mountains in a teepee. It was cold. But I was young and tough. And then this beautiful blonde-haired girl pitched her teepee across the creek from my teepee. That's how I met my wife. True story. And we met these crazy, Holy Ghost-filled, charismatic Catholics in a mountain village of 400 people in Colorado. And they had the Holy Ghost. They saw healing, and they prophesied, and they saw miracles. And we were looking for that kind of stuff. And so we went to them, and they welcomed us in. It was a little room about, you know, the size of this corner over here, and about 20 people on folding chairs in a circle, one lady on the guitar. They said, "We're just going to worship God." We didn't even know what that meant. I didn't grow up a Christian. So we sat down with them, and this lady starts singing, and they start singing, and all of a sudden they start singing in different languages, all different languages, and they're harmonizing in different languages. And, I mean, it was beautiful. And then all of a sudden, like 50 other voices just started singing out of heaven over us. I just went, "Yeah, I like this. These are my people." And they discipled us in the Word. I'd started reading the Bible. I was in Genesis. They said, "Hey, you should skip to John." Genesis was good. I liked it, but skip to John. And one of the men who discipled me, he said, "You're just like a bottle, like an old wine bottle. You pull out the cork and pour out the old wine, and then he throws you in the ocean. And you just go under, and you're in the ocean, and the ocean is in you. And that's you in Christ. You're just floating in there. You're just this shell, but the ocean fills you, and you're in the ocean." And I've kept that image all my life, you know, that's me in Christ. Christ in me, and I'm in him. Just a little bottle bobbing around in the ocean of his love. It's simpler than we think. His love is rich. It's good. It's deep. It's pure. It's holy. They told us about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I went, "Yes, please." Two years later, somebody told me, "Oh, that's not for today." I went, "Sorry, too late." I've been ruined for anything less. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, you have permission to get healed anytime. He's your healer. He's right here. Yeah, just take some of that healing atmosphere of God and just slap it on your body wherever you need it. Yeah, he's good at what he does. Yeah. We had a woman who had fibroid tumors in her uterus, and they were large, and the doctor said, you know, we're going to have to operate. And so she came to the healing rooms, and we prayed for her, and she felt encouraged, but she didn't feel any difference. It was, you know, tight and full and painful, just like it was when she came in. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor put the ultrasound on. He was telling her, you know, he said to her, I want to show you what these look like. And she saw there were these five large tumors in the uterus. And he said, yeah, the only thing we can do is a complete hysterectomy. You know, just remove all the parts. When he said that, she goes, no way. And when she said, no way, one of those tumors on the screen went pop and just popped like a bubble and it would disappear. The guy looks at it and, you know, fiddling with his machine. Tries to figure it out, and then he goes, well, you see, you have four large tumors in your uterus. And he took a measuring device, you know, and he took it up to the tumor to show her how large it was. And right when he touched the screen, it popped right under his. But you see, you have three large tumors in your uterus. Every time he went to measure one, it popped and disappeared. He did a bunch of tests. He said, actually, you don't even need to be in here. I don't know. There's nothing wrong with you. And she came home, and she used to serve in the healing rooms. Boom. Oh. Yeah, whatever tumors you have permission right now to disappear. Bop. Yep. Yep. These stories keep coming to me. I don't know, is it okay to tell you some stories? Because you have permission to get healed while you're listening to stories. He's a storytelling God. Did you ever read that book? So we were in South Africa, and there was a healing rooms there that we were... I was teaching their healing teams, and I met this woman, this amazing woman. She used to be a witch doctor. And so she was a witch doctor in the townships, you know, this little where all the shacks are and people are. And she controlled everything. And, you know, she could put sickness on you or put healing on you, and you paid her for whatever. And so one young lady from the township got gloriously saved and got in the healing rooms and was just loving it. And so she started praying for all her friends in the township, and they started getting healed, and they weren't going to the witch doctor anymore. And so, you know, so the witch doctor's getting a little irritated, but all these people are coming. But this girl was evangelizing one friend in the township, and that friend, somebody had done her wrong, and so she went to the witch doctor, gave her some money, and had the witch doctor write the person's name in her little book. And when she told this young lady, who's the new evangelist to the township, she said, no, that's just wrong. You can't do that. You have to go and take that money back from the witch doctor and cross her name off the book. She goes, I can't do that. She goes, well, I'm going to do it. So this young, bold woman goes into the witch doctor, confronts her, and says, no, this is just wrong. You can't do that. I want that money back right now. She took her book, and she just crossed off the person's name. And she walked out, and the witch doctor had never had anybody confront her like that. And she goes, I've got to find out what's happening. You know, all these people are getting healed, and they're not coming to me, and they're going to, she'd heard about the healing rooms, they're going to this place. I'm going to go down there and check it out. And so the witch doctor's mad, and she comes into the healing rooms. She falls on her face in the healing rooms, and she goes, this God is more powerful than any other God I know. And she gave her life to Jesus, and now she's serving in the healing rooms. She's their greeter, the ex-witch doctor. That's the atmosphere of heaven that we get to steward. It doesn't just happen because we come in a building. The building isn't the atmosphere of heaven. The people are. And so this is why it's so important that we steward the love of God and the honor for each other, and that each person is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we are all living stones being built together into a holy habitation of God by His Spirit. We want to recognize that every person is just as important. It's part of this holy temple where God lives. And as we come together, honoring each other and loving His presence, you know, as the worship team, you know, leads us in worship, it's not about them trying to get us there. It's about us coming and then joining with somebody who will lead us in some music so we can all sing together. No. It's because we're the body of Christ. Yeah. By one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. And then it says, and we've all been given one Spirit to drink. It says that. 1 Corinthians 12:13. We've all been given one Spirit to drink. So we can take the wee little communion cup, a little bit of Holy Spirit, or you know, actually, can we get a little bit goofy? Would that be okay? You know, I mean, people talk about just taking a wine barrel of the Holy Spirit and just drinking, but he's poured out His Spirit without measure. It's too big. You can't really pick up the Holy Spirit and drink Him. And so what I figured out we have to do, okay, if you don't mind, would you humor me? Okay, can we all stand up for just a moment? So the Holy Spirit is like this vast tub of glory. And since we can't pick it up, we have to dive down into it. And so we're just going to go. So when I count to three, one, two, three, go. Maybe we better have another drink. One, two, three. That's ridiculous. Yes. Ho. Yep. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, the enemy's doing everything to steal our joy, steal our hope, steal our rejoicing. But he can't take it if we don't give it to him. Yep, and we got to realize, no, this joy is mine. You can't have it. Nobody can take my joy. It's an inside job. There's joy that lives inside of me that nobody can take. Yep, and I just continually, we better take another dunk in the Holy Spirit. One, two, three. That's what you need to do before you pray for anybody. Take a big drink. We better do it again. One, two, three. Oh. Oh, Jesus. I just want to ask you, if you needed healing in your body anywhere, if you just kind of check it out and see, you know, I just want to see who's feeling better. Anybody feeling better? Whoop, somebody's raising your hand. Whoa, look, people are feeling better. Yeah, raise your hand if you're feeling better. Look at this. People are feeling better all over the place. Ho! Yep, that healer. Oh, man, he's doing his stuff. He's doing that thing he does. Healing everybody who comes to him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Phew. Whoosh. Oh, this is good. I'm having a good time. Everybody else having a good time? Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Got a word for us, Joshua? I'll put you on the spot. We got a microphone. My man Joshua is going to tell you something.
Okay, yeah, so I was just thinking about thankfulness the whole morning. Something, you didn't talk about it yet, right?
I didn't
actually. Not here. So we actually talk about it in the healing rooms a lot. So I'm a teacher in the healing rooms, and when people are done with their, and if you guys want to sit down, feel free to do so.
Or stick your head in the bucket, whatever you want.
So when they come and they receive their healing or receive a breakthrough that leads to their healing, we have a class where we teach them about thankfulness and about a few other things, but thankfulness is one of the main things. Because, so I'm from Germany, I told you yesterday, and we're good at one thing, which is being very critical about anything, right?
Anybody else like that? Used to be like that?
So that's the reason why our cars are so good. Because whenever someone invents a design, so just imagine this would be a car, right? There would be a big crew of German engineers, and they would come, and they would just walk around and try to find everything that's wrong with that car. And they would they would make critical comments, and there would be another round and more critical comments. It's kind of how we were trained to think from a young age on, and I know it's something in the Western culture. And when I came to the healing rooms, I realized that is something I'd have to totally get rid of if I want to see more. Because I'm always focused on what's not there yet. It's kind of the thing that Chuck talked about with the blue sky, right? So cultivating thankfulness in your life is just so important. And having your focus on what God is actually doing. Because otherwise I come in and I tell him how he has to do his job. And that just doesn't work. I learned that the hard way. So yeah, what I would just like to do is just take a testimony right now that you have in your life, something that you experience right now, or just something where you experience him. And let's just be grateful to him and just praise him and bring thankfulness to him.
Yeah.
Let's just do that all together.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, thank you,
yes,
Father.
Thank you. God, thank you for your provision, your endless provision, God. Thank you for your healing power, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Mm.
Goodness of your presence, God.
Wow.
For your joy that knows no limits.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there will be a day where we'll be all in front of his throne, and we will just thank him all day long. And what we do is if we just choose something that he is doing in our life and are thankful for it, we just tap into that same glory. We tap into that same breakthrough and revelation stream. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I just thank you for rescuing me.
Yes.
From all the dumb things I did. Whoa. I wrecked the car with 110 miles per hour against the concrete pillar, so I was very reckless. But he completely saved me. Yeah. I did not deserve it.
Kept you alive. Thank you.
Yes, he did. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Yeah, I just thank you for all the breakthrough we've seen in cancer. Tumors dissolve.
Thank you,
Jesus. Yeah, thank you that you have more than enough. You're a God that has more than enough. There is no lack and no limitation. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and just as we think, as we just put a heart, thankfulness is not a thing you do, it's not an activity, it's a heart posture you're in. And that heart posture just attracts more of breakthrough, more of him, more of his goodness for you.
Yes.
So, Father, we just thank you for everything we're going to receive. And we decide to take a seat in rest. In Hebrews, it says that the thing that the people of Israel did wrong was they saw all these miracles in the desert. They saw supernatural provision. They saw the manna, but they never took a seat in the rest in knowing that God is going to be there and going to provide for them whatever they will need. When they saw new obstacles coming, new giants coming, their heart was weary because they didn't sit down and just rested in His provision. So whenever testimony you just meditated on, that is your testimony to take a seat in and to know my God came through and He's going to come through in everything. Oh. And we just declare from that position of rest, we just declare there's no mountain that's too high for you, Father. For your love and your healing power to come through. Thank you.
Thank you.
There is no valley that's too hopeless. Whoa.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And there is joy, ongoing and growing joy. I did not have any joy when I came here. I was so serious. And now I married an American to be able to stay here because I really like it.
And I'm glad Yosua got healed of his critical spirit before he became my friend. So he wouldn't have to fix me all the time. Oh, thank you, Yosua. Oh, Jesus. So if you need healing in your body still, if there's anything that you still need, would you stand up? Okay, let's partner up with these people. Everybody who's sitting down, would you just become a partner of one of the people who's standing up? So if you're standing, raise your hand. And then you can put it down when you have a partner. So as soon as you get a partner, put your hand down. And the rest of the people sitting down, go find somebody with their hand up. There's still... Okay, so... If you have a partner, put your hand down. This gentleman in the back still needs a partner. Okay, and this lady back there, and a couple of people in the very back there. If anybody's free and can go find those people that have their hands up and pull their hands down. We need a few more people over on that side. Anybody? Okay. If you... don't have a partner, wave your hand a little bit so that we can really see it. Okay, did you just get a partner? Yes. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 people back there. Anybody else free to go back there? If not, you guys can just pair up with each other. But if somebody's available, let's go become their partner. Okay, so this lady here... is there anybody back there that can partner with her? If not, this person way over there on the back, you two can partner with each other. So, the guy with your hands up in the air, worshiping God, all right, do you need healing? Or are you just in glory? Doing good? Okay, great. Okay, everybody have a partner? All right. So, let's just keep our attention on him who's in the room, the healer's in the room. Just because we're helping somebody who has a condition doesn't mean we take our attention off of the healer. He's right here. Yep. And so go ahead and find out that person's name and then just find out the condition, but not a long history. If you have a condition, just use one sentence to tell what we're praying for. Okay? Just a quick, we just want a target. We want to know what we're aiming at.
because generic healing happens too, but sometimes it's nice to partner with a focus. Okay. Let's turn our attention back to God and ask Him, God, what are you saying and what are you doing right now? Yeah, what are you saying, God? What are you doing? We want to partner with what you're doing. Yep, go ahead and give us impressions, words, ideas about how to minister to this person. Yep, we confess we need you. We don't know everything. Go ahead. Tell us what you're thinking, what you're doing. Okay, if you got an impression of what God's saying, would you raise your hand of what He wants you to do? Okay. A bunch of people did. If you didn't, you want to just tell that bad stuff to go, whatever it is. If it's a sickness, disease, pain, you just command that stuff to go. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. You just command it to go right now. Tell that stuff to go. Yep. Tell that pain, it's got to leave. Tell that sickness, that disease, that condition, it's time to go. Yep. Yep. Just say it with authority. You command that stuff to go. Don't have to be polite. Yep. Okay, now we're going to displace it with something else. There's some good stuff in the kingdom that gets poured in. You're going to pour healing and love and peace and comfort and anything good that's in you. Just pour stuff in. Declare the good stuff. Yep, we declare healing. Declare every bit of pain leaves. Every tumor, every cancer leaves. Every condition. Be healed now. Let healing pour into bodies. Yep, let healing pour in right now. Freedom coming into bodies. Complete freedom. Yep. Things readjusting, opening up, being healed. Thank you, God. Thank you. Whew. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Can I have your attention for a moment? If you would go ahead and just test your condition out, see what you can tell. Anything that's different, anything that's changing, you're just looking for any difference. Anything that's changing, that's different. Any more freedom? Yep. Any less pain? Anything good that's happening? Yep. Go ahead and check it out. Okay. Can I have your attention for a moment? Okay. If you're experiencing any changes, would you wave your hands in the air so we can see? Look around. Whoa, Jesus. Woo! Jesus. Thank you. Woo! Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Woo! Jesus. Yeah. Wave your hands if you're experiencing, like, you feel like you're 80% better or more. You know, wave your hands if you feel, okay, look around. Wave your hands if you're 80% better. Look around. There's a bunch of people that are doing 80% better. Whoa. Maybe even 100%. Whoa. That's amazing. Jesus. Yeah. Whew. You can go ahead and whack him some more. Happy bodies heal quicker, so just make them laugh. A merry heart does good like medicine. Yes. Oh, Jesus. Thanks. Yes. So there's the, so let me, Okay, can we have everybody go back to your seats for a minute so we
can have a little order in this place? We like order. Everything done decently and in order.
Did you ever read in Ezekiel what decent and in order looks like in heaven? It's like this crazy place with angels and eyeballs everywhere and wings. And in Revelation, they're throwing crowns down and screaming under the altar. That's decent and in order in heaven. Oh. Okay, yeah. If you can go ahead and take your seats, that'd be great. Yep, you can finish whacking that lady back there. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so I'd like to hear some things that happened. So if you feel like, you know, there's a significant change that happened in you, you know, like 80% or more, would you stand up and my man Christian is going to run to you and we'd like to have you share a testimony. I love testimonies. Who can, are you standing up there? Yes. All right. There's a spotlight that's pointing right at me.
When I was a cheerleader in high school, and I got dropped several times. And since
Ouch.
I was 15, I've had problems in this hip with numbness and pain and in my neck, and it's gone. And, like, there's no numbness, it's gone. I can move.
Oh, Jesus.
Pain.
Oh, yay. All right. Somebody else? Just raise your hand.
Yes, it was with my right knee. And I can't feel any pain in it at all right now.
No pain. Woo! All right. Are you standing up to share? Yay, we want to hear.
I lost my singing voice a long time ago. And in the middle of the night, I thought God could bring my voice back. And my husband just prayed for me. And I think I can sing now. La 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 la.
All right.
Woo.
Oh.
The man who raised me when I was 14 poured a concentrated soap in my mouth and down my nose and my lungs and stuff were I was just burned. And I've not been able to breathe out of the right side of my nose. And I was going to have surgery and I can breathe because the scar tissue is so... I'm breathing.
Ho!
I'm feeling...
Woo! Yeah. Woo! Anybody else? Just wave your hand at us. These are good. Phew. Yeah, don't be afraid to share your testimony with people because... there's a couple of lies about testimonies. One lie is that, you know, they'll think I'm prideful if I share a testimony. It's not you, it's Jesus who did it. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yes, left shoulder.
Look at that left shoulder go.
And a lot of other things. I couldn't think of the name, autoimmune disease.
Autoimmune disease,
yeah.
Okay.
So we went up in the elevator and we got new parts.
Come on, Jesus. There's an elevator that goes right to heaven and to the spare parts room, and, you know, we all have access. Is there anybody else that wants to share? Yep. Okay, back there.
When I got here, I was crying. I felt embarrassed because here I am. I'm supposed to be a ministry team and prayer team, and I could barely hold up my head. I was holding up my head. I was in a car wreck, and I had whiplash. I was holding up my head with my hands, and I was in so much pain, and I am so much better today.
Woo! Yay! Jesus! Woo! Okay, the other lie about sharing testimonies is that people hear and they think that it's them, but it's really the enemy lying, is, you know, well, I better not share because it might not last, or maybe it didn't, you know, maybe it's not really stuck, it's not really real. And it's a lie. It's the enemy trying to convince you that it didn't really happen. And when you declare that it really happened, the enemy runs away, all mad. And so that testimony defeats the enemy. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Shoo. Yep. And so the power of the testimony defeats those lies of the enemy. And remember, we're going from glory to glory, not from glory to, oh, no. Oh, we got some more?
I'm going to testify, even though I can't see anything at this point. I have fingernails and toenails I've got fiberglass on them to keep them together. 15 years, had lots of prayer over these years. I quit asking for prayer because. Uh-huh. So today the Lord poked and said, all right, get that courage back up there.
Come
and
on.
Pray. Ask for prayer.
Yes.
This morning in my time before I came, I said, well, if there's an opportunity. And he said, you know, you never turn down the opportunity for healing prayer.
That's right.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay, so I'm testifying that when he prayed, I felt Holy Spirit come.
Yes.
So I'm testifying that my fingernails and my toenails are healed, and I will see the difference.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep, when you feel Holy Spirit coming, then that he's here, and he's the one who does it. Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, I had an aneurysm, a brain bleed that I was in the hospital for 6 weeks, and that was a miracle that I made it through that. But I've been suffering with depression really bad lately. And then the other funny thing that was like, a lot of times when I feel the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, I'll start to cry. I couldn't even do that. I couldn't feel. But she prayed for me, and the Lord, when you were praying before with the whole congregation, I got a picture of this like weed with these roots that was black roots going down into my head, and I felt like the Lord said he was going to pull them out and he was going to replace it with the crown.
Mm. Woo! Yes. Up. The Lord's weeded your garden for you. Come on.
Yeah, so earlier we were just meditating and the Lord just, I have always dealt with like body issues and image and how I look, and I have this thing where, my whole childhood, even this morning, I'm not even going to lie, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm just like, ugh. And just, I don't know. Sometimes I'll say stuff or whatever. And I just had this vision when we were praying after we lifted that cap off of just like, he's not going to allow me to look at myself in the mirror anymore. The picture wasn't me. I was like, I had these multiple scenes of me just looking at like a full-scale mirror and then a bathroom mirror. And instead of seeing my face and being disappointed, I actually saw an outline of him, right? And yeah. So, yeah. He just said it. He's like, I'm going to shelter your eyes from what you think you see. And just major, because I've dealt with that my whole life. So.
You know it's a lie.
Yeah.
Come here. Look at this young man. Isn't he beautiful? You're awesome. Thank you for being brave and sharing that. Yep, bye-bye. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, you're so good. Yeah, let's just celebrate his goodness. Oh, God, you are so good. God, you're so good. Oh, your goodness knows no limits. I want to thank you for every testimony that's completed, every testimony that's in process, every testimony where you planted your goodness and we felt it and we know something's stirring and happening. Yep, we just thank you that you are faithful to complete everything that you start. Yep. And Yeah, we cancel that lie that says, you know, oh, it's going to be okay. Oh, but then it's going to go back or it's going to end. No, we just declare. Yep, we're going from glory to glory to glory. From good to better to best. Yep. Into wholeness. Yep. You came to restore us to wholeness. And we're going from any condition that we were in into wholeness. And so we just thank you for every place on the journey that we're in right now. Walking with you and going into more and more wholeness. Thank you, God. We bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah. I think we're going to take a break for lunch. You want to? You guys sat for a long time. Was that okay? Bless you.
Oh, man. We don't really have to go to lunch, do we? All right, why don't we, I'm going to have you all, why don't you stand on your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Come on, you're anointed. And you're leaky. So go leak in Lewiston and Clarkston. Or you go out to lunch and just continue to leak and release the joy of the Lord. Come on, freely we receive, so freely give. Father, we thank you. We bless lunch to our bodies, whatever that looks like. And Lord, we just release, we give away what you are giving, knowing that you are the giver of good gifts. And you pour out. You'll make room for that. So we love you, Jesus. We'll be back tonight. Well, doors will open back up at 5:30 tonight. So come on in, and we're excited for tonight. If you are around this area or you know people that are around this area and you know that they need healing or you know that this is an environment they need to be in, tonight we are not ticketing. That sounds bad, like we're writing tickets. We're not charging to come in. So bring family and friends that you know need that. Other than that, but bless you. Have an awesome time, and we'll see you tonight, okay?